Yo.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
It's not fully started yet.
Okay. I thought I'd got disconnected.
No, you're good. It says waiting for the host. I'm already on here.
Uh-oh, I think we got a problem. I saw that. We're on air. We better start talking.
Okay. Welcome, everybody, to the Healing Light Show. We've got Dr. Brian Adams on today. Welcome, Dr. Brian Adams.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, my friends.
Yeah. We're having a little technical issue today. I ask you to forgive us. Blog Talk is acting a little weird today. Anyway, that happens from time to time. But today we're going to be, like I said, we're going to be talking to Dr. Brian Adams. We're going to be talking about his life in the ministry, how he got started in ministry, and where the Lord has led him to today. And thanks, Jacob, for coming on, too. I'm our co-host, Jacob Phillips.
How's everybody doing?
Well, I'm pretty good. Yeah, we're actually, we're going to go ahead and get into the interview. And like I said, I do welcome anybody to have call-ins. And for the call-ins, the number is 347-996-3615. Okay. Jacob, you have anything you want to talk about? Any events you have going on?
Well, on June 15th, we will be, where I'm from Louisiana, and we will be in Shreveport, Louisiana, June 15th with Pastor Mike and Faye McGee at the Church on the Rock. And I'll be sharing my supernatural story, my testimony, what God has done for me. I was born without a brain and a skull and supernaturally healed. And I'm just expecting God to move miraculously and for other people to get healed. But that's going to be a real good one.
Amen.
We're excited.
Amen. Jacob, why don't you just tell us about some of the other events you have and stuff, and we'll go with that. And we just like to get the events in right quick.
Well, on August 7th through the 9th, that's a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I'll be with host Robert Goins. My buddy Robert Goins, who's also from West Monroe, is going to be hosting an event at the convention center down here called the Army of the Lord Conference. And I'll be with people like Ira Milligan, who is going to be on the show next week, as a matter of fact, and a few other ministers from Missouri. I will be teaching on and activating on how to heal the sick and activating people in that area. And that'll be awesome. We're going to raise up ministers for the gospel.
Amen. Amen. Now, we're going to go straight into the interview with Dr. Brian Adams. Welcome to the show again, Dr. Brian Adams.
It's awesome to be here, gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you. Let's start back when you first got in the ministry. How did the Lord actually bring you into the ministry?
Well, I have to attribute it all to I had a praying mother. I was just seeking to do life. I was a drug addict. I was a drug dealer. As a child, I'd been raised up in a church and knew all the Bible stories, but the church that my mother had me attending, or that we were attending at the time, was a church that had the word, but a church that denied the power. You know, one of those denominational churches that said that the gifts of the Spirit and everything was done away with. So without the power, I had a void in me, so the world pulled me out, got involved in drugs, but no matter what I was trying to do, the lady that had brought me into this earth, she had a hold on me as the spiritual DNA. She kept praying and claiming my soul to be used for the glory of God. Well, eventually my mother's prayers caught up with me. And when they did, I'd come to a place to where I was so devastated from bad relationships, from drug usage, from alcohol, that I came to a place where I was going to kill myself. And I went up on a hill and was about to take my life when I had this, like, mini vision in my head. It was clear as HD, and they didn't even have HD back then. But I saw myself as a little child sitting on my mother's lap, and she said, "Son, if you ever get in a situation you can't handle, call on the name of Jesus." And many people, when they've been involved in drugs with alcohol, they might have gone through a 12-step thing, and that's cool if that's worked for you. But I was too stoned that day to even count that high, so I just took one step back, tilt my head back, and I called on the name of Jesus. And when I did, I went instantly sober and instantly straight, because I had been trying to overdose and had probably $20,000-some worth of drugs in my system, and who knows how much alcohol. But when I called on the name of the Lord, I went supernaturally, instantly sober. I was no longer drunk, no longer high. And all the voices of schizophrenia that was in my life at that time silenced. And now there was only one voice. And that voice called me by name. And he said, "Brian, you never have to get high again." This summer, I just celebrated 29 years drug and alcohol free by the power of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. That's amazing, man. You know, when did the Lord actually get you started to go into the ministry? Was it more of a smaller process after you got saved, or was it just right after you got saved?
Well, you know, the Bible tells us in Acts, once the Holy Ghost gets on you, I'm going to give you the Brian Adams translation. Once you get the Holy Ghost, you done messed up. Your life
Amen,
is no longer your own. I mean, I stand on the scripture that says, "He who has been forgiven much loves much." Man, some people are going to hell because of what Adam and Eve did. I believe I was going to hell for that, but also for what I'd done. I lived such a terrible life, abusing people, using people. And when God truly forgave me and I came to the understanding I've been forgiven, I was so excited that I'd been given a new lease on life, you couldn't shut me up. So, you know, the Bible tells us, don't despise small starts. The true ministry of any man or woman of God, I believe, is just telling your story, your encounter, about what Jesus has done in your life. So I just, you know, went about, now couldn't be a drug dealer and didn't run the bars. So after I got a job in sales, I just went everywhere telling everybody what Jesus had done for me and that he was going to do it for them too if they'd call on his name.
Amen. That's awesome how the Holy Spirit really gets right into you and he actually takes over, and then all of a sudden, you know, the thing you want to speak about is Jesus, and that's very awesome because, you know, I know by my own experience is that, you know, the enemy holds you back from Jesus. He don't want you to talk about it. So when you're not really filled with the Spirit, your mind is not really on that subject a whole lot. And I know by the things that I've thought about the world that even the ministers and stuff like that, you know, they write their everyday Sunday sermon, they preach it, and that's it. And and they jump in it every once in a while. But, you know, the Christian life, and when you're Holy Spirit filled, the Christian life don't stop, you know, on Sunday mornings. It's an everyday thing. You walk and you live and you breathe. Christ is what you. And that's what kind of like it started happening to you when you first got saved. Just, you know, it's an everyday thing. And that's pretty.
Well, you know, a lot of times people will get born again and people tell them, "Now, you know, you need to not hang with the wrong crowd." And I believe that's true. But when I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost that day on that hill, no one had to tell me that, because when I went to my friends and to the people I dealt drugs with, man, they didn't want nothing to do with me. It was like their demons could sense the transformation, that I was born again, that I was a new person in Christ. But you know what? When you become born again, you're a new person in Christ, the Bible tells us. But it also says that, you know, when you study the scriptures, you understand it. You're like a baby Christian. Jesus said you must become as a little child to enter into the kingdom. But as a baby Christian, I just want to encourage people that's listening. The Bible tells us that God loves babies. He loves everybody. But you know what? God loves babies, but he can't use babies. I've got an 8-month-old grandson right now. He's actually the 8th grandchild. We praise God for our grandchildren. But he's 8 months old, and I love that boy to pieces. But you know what? I can't throw him on the lawnmower. I can't tell him to take the trash out. But I love him, but I can't use him. So the Bible tells us that Jesus gave gifts to the body. I didn't need anybody to tell me I needed to go to church. I just knew that I had to go to school and get trained now. And so just being led by the Holy Ghost, I was like Jesus was driven to the wilderness. I was driven to church. And God directed my steps. It says, if you acknowledge him in all your ways, that he'll direct your steps. Well, man, my God's so awesome. He directed my steps to the right church to get under the right pastor, because the fivefold ministers will begin to equip you. And I ended up with a crazy pastor that was full of the Holy Ghost and believed in signs, wonders, and miracles. And this brother began to teach me to cast out devils, to heal the sick, that the Holy Ghost was still today. He just began to encourage me, pray in tongues as often as you can and all day long, and to read your Bible and to fast and to pray. Next thing you know, I was seeing people there at the altar be healed. I was seeing people get saved. Man, I couldn't go anywhere that all of a sudden my mouth was open. God was speaking through me, and I'm like, oh, Lord, what have I started now? It just became so much fun.
Amen. It's awesome how the Lord really uses a minister in all the correct ways, and how when he wants to train you, he puts you in the right position at the right time. And, when you're actually getting led locked up, man, you know you're on the right track. You're on the right track. Now, Brian, go into some of the shows you've been on. I know you've been on Sid Roth, I guess, one or two times, I'm not sure. But tell us about you going on the shows and TBN and all that.
Well, again, that's just another one of those things. Don't despise small starts. And I believe there's a being in the right place at the right time. And just like Paul became born again, but he didn't know anybody. The people that did know him was afraid of him. And so he needed a Barnabas, someone to open doors for him. So as I just continually, out of my mouth, would not let any negativity, but just the praises of God and thanking him for everything. I didn't care if it was good or bad. I'd just been taught to praise God and give him thanks. Next thing you know, he began to direct my steps. We got an opportunity to be on Daystar to give my testimony from drug dealer to cop to preacher. And, man, it was so much fun. And at the end of the program, the producer or the camera people were crying, man, when I gave my testimony. I'm like, oh, that's awesome to see him touched by the Holy Ghost. And they were just like, man, you and your wife need to be on TV. And I'm like, well, I kind of enjoyed that. If the opportunity ever came, I'd sure pray about it. Well, the producer walked up to me and said, hey, I'd like you to pray about something. I said, well, what's that? She said, I'd like you to pray about being one of the hosts here at Daystar. And I said, well, let's pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, amen, let's do it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I saw it as an open door and an opportunity. Because, see, you can be prophetic and you can have prophetic words given over you, but so many people miss it because you also have to have prophetic vision. You've got to see when the now happens. A lot of people, we'll talk about unforgiveness and stuff later. Unforgiveness is rooted and based in yesterday. Then a lot of people are daydreaming about tomorrow. Well, God's always in the now. Now faith is, and now God is. And so we've got to wake up, forgetting the things of the past, letting the hurts go and different stuff. We got to be in the now, because I saw the window. I had a prophetic word that God was going to do this, and we were just excited. We started preaching. Now, tell me, you two gentlemen are ministers, and you're using this venue as to preach the gospel, and I so honor you and respect you for that. But all of a sudden, now, could you imagine being a preacher, given television camera, studio, to preach to millions of people, and you didn't have to pay for it? I was in heaven. Now, I'm telling you.
Awesome.
And
awesome,
so that
man.
Began to open doors and begin to let us be known a little bit. Then, I hooked up with a good friend who opened the door for me to get on Sid Roth at Supernatural. And I'm telling you, Sid Roth is a true man of God. He's so humble. He cares so much about the Jewish nations because he's Jewish, but not just of them, about the Gentiles only. He flew my wife and I down, and they fed us and put us on the motel. It was an experience I will never forget, and I hope to be on that program again. Then God opened the door for us to be on TBN out of Columbus, Ohio. And I just came back the other day, been on TCT on Ask the Pastor. I was interviewed, gave my testimony from drug dealer to cop to preacher on TCT. And God just has opened so many radio programs and so many television things. And one day I said, Lord, what? Because people would ask me, how do you get these doors open? Well, I actually wasn't even sure because I just try to walk by faith. But I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why are the doors opened? He said, immediately answered me, I believe in my spirit. And he said, because you're faithful to give the glory to me. You're faithful to tell the story of how I set you free. You see, when you tell your testimony, the same anointing that was released the day that you were set free is re-released again. And you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, your testimony is part of the word of God, how God's word and God himself has interacted with you. So you prophesying, when people hear testimony, you're saying, hey, this is what God has done, and if he's done it, it's his word, it's his will, and he wants to do it again. So the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. So when you receive the Holy Ghost in the Bible, you saw that they would speak in tongues and they would prophesy. And I'd always wonder when I've led so many people to the Lord, and praise God that he's let me do that. And I would always see him pray in tongues, and I'm like, why aren't they, you know, I'm not seeing a bunch of prophecy. And he took me to that scripture that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And he says, I also told you that when you receive the power of the Holy Ghost, you'll have the power to become a witness. So I believe that a lot of the prophecy that the Bible talk about is inspired and anointed with God's Spirit to tell your story. They defeated the enemy by the blood, by the word, and by the word of their testimony. Oh, my gosh. If more people would tell the story, I believe we'd have a bigger and a quicker revival.
Amen.
What's so amazing to me is what he does. He throws you in front of... He'll throw you in front of a lot of people, but he'll throw you in front of people just like you that's having the same type of problems where your story, your testimony can help them. And it might be, you know, thousands of people they listen to, but they don't relate to anybody but somebody like you. And it might be your testimony can touch them to bring them to the Lord. And it's amazing how that happens.
Well, you know, I can be in front of a crowd of old people, young people, and when you tell your story, especially in today's society, of being a drug addict, of being an alcoholic and being touched, you might have a sweet old grandma out there. She's never drank, never smoked, never ran the bars, did anything wrong. But she's probably got a son in prison or maybe a grandchild that's on drugs. So somewhere, somehow, when you tell your story, you're introducing yourself. You're giving your resume and you're saying, here is my encounter. Here's my experience with Jesus. And I'm telling you, that when you re-release the anointing that will set you free, and if you repetitively tell your story, your anointing increases. One time someone says, how have you gone almost 30 years without backsliding, without doing this? I said, because I keep telling my story. And when I tell my story, I remind myself whose I was, what I was, and who I belong to now. And I never lose my identity. Because, see, one of the problems with a lot of people in the body of Christ is their identity is a preacher or a singer or a minister. And that's not your identity. That's your gifting. Your identity is a son or a daughter of the Most High God. A slave begs, a servant asks, but a son or a daughter expects. Be born again, sins forgiven, filled with the Holy Ghost, being a son that expects what your daddy said he'll do, that he will do. Now, I know both of you gentlemen understand that very much.
Amen. Amen. Now, Brian, take us into about the forgiveness. I was listening to your Sid Ross show, and you was talking about how unforgiveness will actually block your connection between God. And if you walk in the power, that it will actually weaken your walk in the fire, because it's like holding a bridge between you and the Lord. And once you let that go, you know, it'll help release a lot of that.
Well, I was just, I'd been to Africa a few times with some friends of mine, and I was coming back, and the Lord called me to a 40-day fast, no food, water only. Well, he finally got me to do it. And as I was coming to the end of that fast, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, faith moves me, but forgiveness releases my power. I began to take that one-liner, and man, we ended up with a Bible school, and we ended up writing a book and the 4-CD thing that got us on Sid Roth on the power of forgiveness. But what God began to teach me was, the devil's not only a liar, but the devil is a legalist. He is in the court of heaven trying to find some legal right that he can be in your life. I don't care if it's Benny Hinn or who it is. You can have one of the most powerful ministers pray for you. But if you have given the devil a legal ground to be in your life, he'll just sit there and smile at you and doesn't have to leave, because he knows the laws of the universe. Matthew chapter 18, the Lord began to teach me that it said that there was a man that owed like 10,000 talents. The Lord called him in and said, pay me or I'm going to throw you into prison. He fell on his knees and he said, have mercy on me. The Brian Adams translation, he said, hey, let me refinance, you know, let me refer some payments, but you give me time and I'll hook you up. Well, the Lord had compassion on him and said, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to refinance. I'm just going to release you from your debt. I'm going to bring debt cancellation to you. You're forgiven and you don't owe me no more. The guy rejoiced and went out. But you know what? It's like he almost forgot what had happened. And he found someone that owed him $100, grabbed him, said, you pay me or I'm throwing you, your wife, and kids in jail. And the guy said the same thing. Forgive me. Give me time. Let me refinance. Give me some time and I'll get you paid. But this guy who had just been forgiven $10,000 said, no, I'm not going to do it. Threw this boy in jail. Somebody was watching. I just want to tell you, there's always somebody watching. The Holy Ghost is there. The angels are there. Well, somebody went back to the Lord and said, you know the guy you just forgave all that? He wouldn't do the same thing for somebody. So the Lord called him back and said, because you didn't forgive, you're going to be turned over to the tormentors. And when I read that scripture, Jesus in the red letter says, and so my Father will do unto you if you from your heart, not from your lips, not religiously, but if you from your heart don't forgive, you'll be turned over to tormentors. And all of a sudden, this revelation came to me. Tormentors, fear hath torment. So I started experimenting with fire, phobias and fears and anxiety. How long have you had this problem? Okay. Now, did anything traumatic or, you know, and it always seemed to be a divorce or a car wreck or someone died, and where someone had some bitterness, unforgiveness or something. I would have them pray with me to forgive the person that had hurt them, or if they had unforgiveness toward themselves, or maybe even they were mad at God because a family member died they prayed for. Their marriage divorced anyway, and they prayed so much and believed. The minute they would forgive, God kept reminding me, faith moves me, but forgiveness releases my power. We started seeing instantly people being healed who couldn't get healed before, because now the legal ground was gone and the devil had to obey the laws of the universe. Forgiveness releases God's power. We started seeing, now this is no exaggeration, from 30% of people in the prayer line getting healed to over 80% of people in the prayer line getting healed. And we've had some meetings that just recently, coming back from Brazil and different places, where some nights we would see every single person healed, all to the glory of God. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
Awesome, man. Amen. Fantastic. Amen on that one. But it's awesome because, you know, I've did some healing myself on folks, and the Lord's using me in many different things like that. And, you know, you would actually pray for people, and you wouldn't see nothing happen. You're like, what's going on here? And you start studying with some of these people who've been doing it for years and what they ran into. A lot of times, you know, some of the, I'll say the old timers has ran into this, and new time, you know, people have just started this. You don't know this stuff, not unless you really get into it, into the nitty gritty. And what I've learned was that, you know, the unforgiveness is like a, like you said, it's like a steel vault. It's holding all this stuff back. But once they get to a point and they're like, Lord, you know, I release this to you, you know, please forgive me, and all of a sudden it just flies away. And it's awesome how that works, man. And it's just the unforgiveness, this releasing the heart and just letting it go.
Well, you know, we've heard the scripture that says a threefold cord isn't easily broken. Well, a lot of times when you read the Bible, you need to start asking the Holy Ghost, show me the laws of the universe. Show me situations that will help me know. Because he told his disciples, he said, you know, it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Luke 24:45 says, and he opened their eyes to understand the scripture. I begin to pray those two scriptures. Lord, open my eyes to understand the scriptures. Lord, I just ask you, if it's been given to me the right to know the mysteries, then begin to teach me. So he took me to the scripture and said, a threefold cord isn't easily broken. And then he spoke to me, I believe, and he said, the devil is aware of how the universe works. So if he sees something that I use, then he'll use something similar. So then the Lord began to show me that the devil has a threefold cord: bitterness, anger, and unforgiveness. Now, when these three get together and begin to work in a person's heart, remember I told you faith is now and God's always in the now. Unforgiveness is rooted in the past, and it keeps you out of now where faith is, and it keeps you dwelling on hurt and negativity instead of positive things. But actually, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, it acts as a spiritual cancer. Now, it's strategically a plan of the devil to use this unforgiveness, bitterness, and anger. It becomes a cancer, and what it eats is the love that's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Now, if the love is depleted and it's ate away by this anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness, then we can't obey the Word of God, because the number one commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, and thy soul. And the second one is to love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you don't love yourself, or if your love is gone, you can't obey either one of the scriptures. But here's what's really sad is, the minute the love has been depleted by this anger, the strategic military plan of the devil, he knows that faith worketh by love. If your love has been depleted and ate by the spiritual cancer, now your faith is fuelless. It has no fuel. So when you pray or try to do something supernatural or spiritual, your words fall to the ground, and now you're looking at Sister Susie, who just got saved 6 months ago. She cries and gets her prayers answered. She burps and she gets her prayers. Like God's just all over. Here you've been in this thing for 20 years. You're nothing, no prayers. Now you're mad at Sister Susie. You're mad at God. And the problem isn't God, isn't Sister Susie. The problem's you. Because you're mad. You're angry.
God just wants people to
love, to forgive. Because, see, he's called us to network with heaven and to become a distributor of the power of forgiveness, because forgiveness repels hell. Once you're forgiven, you're not going to hell. Forgiveness repels sickness, disease, insanity. I'm telling you, when God's forgiveness is released, his power has come through, and you actually become like a portal between heaven and hell, and the supernatural now begins to flow through you.
Amen. Amen. It's amazing how how you can interrupt your you know, the Lord working through you. It's amazing how that stuff works. And a lot of times it all depends on you. But it's awesome how that stuff works. Now, Brian, what we're going to do, we're going to get ready to go into a song here in a minute. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to broadcast the number. Anybody wants to call in and speak with you or got any questions for you, I know you did many a thing on air with Sid Roth and TBN, and a lot of people has probably followed your ministry for years, and they probably got a few questions. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to put the number across there now. It's 347-996-3615. It's 347-996-3615. If anybody has a question or anything, you know, just call in, and we're going to give you a chance to call in here in a minute. Like I said, I'm going to play a song to give y'all a chance y'all can call in I'm going to announce this again. It's 347-996-3615. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. We got Dr. Brian Adams here, and at this time, we've not had many calls. A lot of people like to listen in. It varies from time to time who wants to call in. Some people just they're kind of nervous to call in, but you know, you're more than happy to call in. It's 347-996-3615. Okay, Jacob, there's some questions you want to ask Dr. Brian Adams.
Yeah, well, we were in the side room. We talked just a brief minute about some things. Dr. Brian, I understand that you'd work with the great general God T.L. Osborne. I'd like you to expound on that just a little bit.
Well, I remember I'd come back from, I was down in Nicaragua, and I'd had about 500 people in a prayer line, and by the time, and it was really humid and hot. By the time I prayed for each one of those, I went back to my motel room and I said, Lord, much of this, and this would kill me to pray for so many hundreds of people individually. So I wanted to begin to learn about the mass prayer and praying over crowds of large amounts and seeing them healed. And I knew that some of the old generals had done this. So I began to seek a relationship with Dr. T.L. Osborne, and his secretaries told me when I called, you wouldn't believe the thousands of people that call and try to get a hold of him. And so they pretty much were trying to discourage me. And so I said, you know what, I don't believe in discouragement. I'm a man of faith. So I would fax every day a smiley face saying, Dr. Brian Adams requesting to see Dr. T.L. Osborne. I'd call every day. I'd send emails, and they'd pick up the phone. Good morning, Dr. Brian. How you doing? And they'd laugh. And so one night I sat down and I wrote a 2-page email and sent it to the general email of the ministry. And apparently it got to him, because I was checking my emails before preaching one Sunday, and I didn't know who this email was from. I started to delete it, and I thought, contact him, read it. When I opened it up, it was from Dr. T.L. Osborne. And he said, I've read your email, and he went on and stuff, and he says, if you want to meet me, I'm going to Puerto Rico, actually Ponce, Puerto Rico, and there's a flyer attached, meet me there. So I opened up the flyer, it was in Spanish, and at that time I didn't speak any Spanish, and I thought, man, how am I going to know where to go? Then all of a sudden I thought, well, I'm on the Internet, I'll just use Google Translation, and I translated it, got an address and where the place was, called my travel agent and said, get me a plane ticket, give me a motel, and give me a car. Went over there, and it fell on my birthday, and began to build a friendship with Dr. T.L. Osborne, and watch him in his teaching, watch him as he prayed the mass prayer, was on the stage, ate lunch with him all the time, got him to come back to and he ministered to our church, and we corresponded and called and emailed and different stuff. It was such awesome that God would allow me to be around someone as just phenomenal as his ministry, with godly character, miracles, signs and wonders, a balanced teaching on the word. And when I took him to the airport that day, he said, son, I didn't come to minister to your church or this and that. And I was thinking, well, man, that's what you did. And I looked at him and I said, well, then why did you come, sir? And he said, you know, when I read your email that you sent me, because I put in it, sir, I want you to live as long as you can, but one day God's going to take you home. I'm one of the men that's going to replace you in the global ministry, and I want to learn from you. And that touched him. He said when he read that the power of God filled his office where he was sitting reading it. And he said, and God spoke to me and said, go tell that young man that he's ready for the nations. Mm-hmm. And as I sat there in my truck and he prayed for me and said, God told me that you're ready for the nations, I thought, oh, my gosh, I've been commissioned by Dr. T.L. Osborne. And something happened that day. And something happened every day that when I got to hang with him or, you know, when we as I watched him minister to ways at my church. But I thought, how awesome is our God to bring somebody Amen. And hook you up with some of the generals? Because, you see, if you'll be faithful, if you'll be serious, and if you'll put the gospel ahead of everything else, because, see, God doesn't want anybody to perish. And there's a world going to hell. We can bless our four and no more, and we can just be about our ministry. But God's about souls. And I just recently returned from Brazil, and this preacher over there, he set me up these crusades, and it was probably some of the biggest crusades we'd done. And as I prayed the mass prayer, thinking about what he had taught me, and I said, if anybody has received this healing, and the hands started going up, and the people come up, started saying, 25 years I've suffered this, this was done. And in these meetings, we saw over 4 totally blind people, deaf, mute, healed, cancer victims get out of bed, throw the blankets off, and take off running around. And all of a sudden, all I could think of is, because I desired to fulfill my destiny, God will place in your life the people that have done. Because, you know, the Bible says without a vision, the people perish. And I believe God showed me that not only is a vision for the individual church, But let's say you're a keyboard player and a songwriter. You need a vision, and that vision should be is you need to find the best songwriter, the best keyboard player, the one that is really moving in the Holy Ghost, and go to their meeting and look at them and watch them and say, I've got a gift just like that. This is what my gift is capable of doing. If you're a minister and evangelist, you need to find some evangelist that is doing some of the best and the most anointed, has the best meetings and miracles, so that you can get a vision and say, oh my gosh, this is what my gift can do. If you're the smartest man in the room all the time, you need to change rooms. We need to get around some people that are the present generals, the ones that are being promoted. I try to hang out with people like Dr. Rennie McLean and Tony Kemp and some of these different people, and go to these meetings, and whether it's Daniel Colendo, whether it's Reinhard Bunke. Before R.W. Schonbach died, God opened the door while I was preaching down at his church, and got to meet him and had him lay hands and pray over us.
That's fantastic.
T.L. Osborne prayed over my wife and I. I'm telling you, God will set you up with the people to hook you up.
Amen.
Well, I've got one more question, and this is now that we've talked about all this miraculous stuff, I'm not saying I want to bring it down some, but I'd like for you to talk about your church and where you're located as far as like a home base type thing.
Okay. Well, we pastor a church, my wife and I, and by the way, God has blessed me with an awesome wife and 4 kids and 8 grandkids, and, you know, God actually created the family first and then the church. So we got to have our life and our wives and our kids and everything in order and acting Christ-like at home, not just the church. But the name of our church is called The Rock Family Worship Center. We got 3 churches in Ohio and 1 in Parkersburg, West Virginia. Now, my brother-in-law is the apostle that's birthed these churches, and he's the president of the incorporation. I'm the vice president. But I'm located in Jackson, Ohio. We also have a church, which is our latest one that my pastor started, in Columbus, Ohio, and 1 in a town called Waterford. And then our corporate office is in Parkersburg, West Virginia, and I'm actually going there tonight and tomorrow morning to preach because my pastor's on vacation. And we're just, the motto of our church is, because there's more. So when people say, why should we attend your church? And I said, because there's more. Because so many churches, the devil has got in what I call the doctrines of demons, and they're saying that the Holy Ghost isn't working in the church, and God doesn't heal anymore, and tongues isn't for today, and we get into institutions that are powerless. But I want to tell you that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in the local church, you should be able to have your pains taken from you. You should be able to have sight returned to your eyes. Your family should be healed. Marriages can be restored. God is still the same God. And so we're trying to build churches and get them debt-free. If Christ tarries and isn't sent back now, we live as if he's coming back today, but we're trying to build debt-free churches to where our children's children can have a place to worship the Lord, where people can be equipped and taught not to be worldly, but to be godly. Because, see, God doesn't want us to be good. He wants us to be spiritual, and he wants us to be supernatural. We live in this world, but once you're born again, you're not of this world. God wants us to provide a place where the atmosphere is conducive for miracles. A place, you know, there's an old TV program years ago called Cheers. And the motto of it was a place where everybody knew your name and everyone's glad you came. I thought that shouldn't have belonged to a bar. That should have belonged to the church. We're trying to build a church where when people walk in, they're glad you came, they know your name, and you're part of the family. A place where you're safe. You won't be abused, misused, disrespected, or hurt. But the minute you pull in the parking lot, you already feel the anointing. You already feel welcome, and you feel the peace that passes all understanding.
Amen. I mean, a church, you know, a church ain't a place where you should go and worry about what somebody's going to say about you, or, you know, and I've heard a lot of people say, well, I just can't go to church today because I'm sick. And I was like, well, if you're sick, you should want to go to church to get healed by the power of God. Instead of, you know, that's the place. that's the place you need to be when you're sick, you know. And
I tell the people in my church, I said, you know what? The Bible said, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. And that just didn't mean two or three people. It's talking about an organized church where the government of God is there. Because there's a government of God. There's a rank structure. There's discipline and there's order. And I tell people, I don't want to hear you missing church even if you're dead, because I should be doing your funeral.
Yeah.
No, we understand. You know, people got to work. You miss church because you got to work and you go on vacation and stuff like that. But just laying out to, because you're tired and you want to sleep in or something like that, I tell people, you know what? God's equipping you to pass the test of life. And about the time you miss two or three Sundays and get lazy and plaque off, that's when the class is going to be taught that could help you pass the test that's about to come in your life. And now you're failing the test. You're like, why? Well, God tried to train you and prepare you, but you decided to skip class. My daughter's just recently got her second master's degree, but she would have never been able to pass the test. They would have never given her diploma. They would have never given her degree if she hadn't been to all the classes, if she hadn't finished all the papers, if she hadn't passed all the tests. Now she's trained for such a time as this, and is a school teacher and got a double master's degree. She has studied to show herself not ashamed. She's ready. She's successful. She's prosperous. And she came to us not too long ago and said, you know what? I'm trained as an educator, but God said I'm supposed to bring my gift to the church, and I want to be in charge of the children's church. Oh, my Lord, I was so proud of her. Because, see, when each person supplies their part, does what they're called to do in the local body, there's a corporate, there's a personal relationship, and there's a corporate relationship. But when each person brings their personal relationship and gifting and allows a pastor to set them in a place in the church, then the body grows.
Amen. Yeah, I think everybody should, you know, bring their children into the ministry, which sometimes it takes, like you said, it takes them a while to really get that draw to it. But, you know, as long as you pray over your children and you try to keep them in front of the Word, in front of the church, and try to keep that in their heart, sooner or later it'll actually bloom, and you start seeing them getting interested in the ministry. It's awesome that your daughter is doing that. But, Jacob, you got anything else?
Well, I think at this time, it would be good to let Dr. Brian plug a few places that he might be in the near future, and by that I mean the next few months, and to plug his website and maybe his church, whatever he wants to do.
Well, I appreciate that, gentlemen. I tell you what, God is just doing phenomenal things all over the world. I'm getting ready this month. Matter of fact, I got Tony Kemp. I'm going to pick him up Monday. He's doing some meetings in Cincinnati. He's going to be at each one of the four rock churches, three in Ohio, one in Parkersburg. And then I'm taking him back, and I'm headed to Texas, and I'll be ministering in the Fort Worth area in Texas. And then I'll be in November, I'll be in Border, Texas, and in that area, the Panhandle, Texas, the part of Texas. But we're planning South Africa. Now, here's one I'm really excited about. I've never been there. We're planning Pakistan.
That's
a
awesome.
Friend of mine just got back from there and was having open-air meetings with as many as 80,000 people. Signs, wonders, and miracles convincing the Muslims that Jesus is Lord. Because, see, many of them are just cultural Muslims. Mm-hmm. They're not, like, so sold out. That's just all they know. But when they are confronted with the gospel of repentance, a creator who's telling them to there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, and then it's backed up with signs, wonders, and miracles. Their kids are getting healed. Things are happening. Oh, my gosh. They're setting up meetings for us right now that'll be they're estimating up to 200,000 people in Pakistan, in an area to where they think America is the great Satan. And it's only God that's going to protect us. We're excited about that. But South Africa, Colombia, Pakistan, we're doing really a lot to, is more of a global ministry, more of an international. That's why when, you know, I said earlier that Dr. T.O. Osborne came and said, God said to tell me you're ready for the nations. We're claiming the nations. No matter what race, creed, color, or religion, Acts, the book of Acts says out of one blood God created all mankind.
Well, we'll definitely be praying for that. I mean, over your ministry for that, for those trips, because, you know, it never hurts to be covered by the saints in prayer. So,
oh, come
we'll
on.
That weekend, so.
You know, my website, I have one for our church, liveattherock.com, and you'll pull it up and it'll show Columbus, Jackson, Waterford, Parkersburg. You can click on each one of those and check the churches out. But then I have my road ministry, www.brianadamsministries.com. You can look us up on Facebook, Brian Adams Ministries. Also have a second one, Dr. Brian. That's D-R-B-R-I-A-N space Adams. So you can find us on Twitter, you can Brian Adams Ministries. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us at our website, brianadamsministries.com. We're taking the gospel through the media, through the internet. We live stream our services. You can go onto the Live at the Rock and go to the Jackson Church. We got probably 3 years of archived teachings and the video. We live stream our services. We're just trying to take this gospel because, you know what, I'm convinced it is the truth. Truth isn't a revelation or knowledge, but truth is a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. I met him. My mother introduced me to the man from Galilee. She just went to heaven on January 4th, and she was 87 years old. But I promised her before she died that I'll work on all the grandkids and the nephews and nieces and take up where she left off. But you know what? When you are faithful to small things, God rewards. Your reward for successful work is more work. A lot of people want vacation, but God gives more work. The guy who's faithful with five cities got five more cities. God wants to use you. If you're listening to the sound of my voice right now, God says he wants to use you, trust you. He wants to empower you. You're important. You're awesome. You're not a mistake. Even if your family told you they didn't plan you, I want you to know that God planned you, and he's got a purpose for you. If you'll call on his name and get empowered by his spirit, quit thinking you've got rights and just take up the kingdom rights. Networking with heaven, becoming a distributor of the message of forgiveness and love, and go out and begin to reach your hands out to the poor and the hurting and say, I want to introduce you to the man from Galilee. I'm telling you what, God will pour his grace, his anointing, his power all over you. You'll begin to see stuff happen. You'll be like, oh, my gosh. You see, God took my mess. He made it my message. And then he even turned it to my money. My family's living good. We're blessed. Because he said, beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper. Above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health as thy soul prosper. He wants to heal you. He wants to forgive you. But most of all, he wants to be a father to you.
Amen. It's awesome how the Lord uses you in many different ways, and he blesses you. And, you know, you was talking about when you're around somebody, if you're in a ministry and you want to grow your ministry, be around somebody that's already growing their ministry and doing the same type of thing that you're doing. And I actually live in North Carolina, and I get to go to Sid Roth shows quite a bit. I go to the audience quite a bit.
I just
love to sit back and watch Sid Roth do his thing. I've been on maybe three or four shows in the audience. And I just like to sit back and soak in what he does, what he's saying, when he bring in his guests. It's just awesome to watch and actually feel the glory inside of that studio, man. I mean, it's unreal how the glory is, and it's awesome how that works. But you know, like you was talking about, anybody that has a career or actually has a ministry, like you said, no matter whether it's a musician, like you're learning the keyboard, you want to pray, you know, play at church, or you know, you want to go into the full-time, you know, music ministry, you know, go around these folks that actually does this and let them train you, let them teach you, or just, you know, hang out with the group and just see what happens. I mean, if you have a minister in your local area that's really grown in the ministry, hang out with this guy and really see how God is using him, where it might, you know, rub off on you. You know, you never know. And that's why it sounded like it happened to you, Brian. You went with T.L. Osborne, and he really showed you the ropes with some things. And
well, there's
awesome
multiple people that continues. You know, I sat for days and hours watching A.A. Allen, Jack Coase Sr. DVDs of the Miracles and Signs and Wonders, getting a vision of what this gift that God has given me. Because, see, if you have a gift and you don't have the instructions, the Bible's the principles, and it gives us a small outline. But now we need to get some in-depth teaching. We need to get some things. What's working, you know? And I believe there's an impartation by association. If you hang with the wrong crowd, you'll do the wrong things. But if you allow God to put you with the right crowd, you'll end up doing the right things. And the right things is this. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who God anointed with the Holy Ghost, went about healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So we should be about healing all, not some, but all that was oppressed. You know, a lot of people, they don't know if it's the will of God to heal them. Well, if we find out what the word is his will. And the benefit package found in Psalms 103 says, he forgives all iniquity, wrongdoings, and transgressions, and he heals all diseases, not some. So if it says he heals all, then we don't have to stop and say, is it God's will? There was only one place where someone said, it was a leper, says, if you will. I know you can, if you will. Jesus answered that question for all eternity. I will. Now, here's another nugget I'd like to end with. Is a lot of people, they'll ask God to heal them. See, if there's two things God won't do. He won't do what he's told you to do, and he won't do what he's already done. See, 2,000 years ago at the whipping post and at Calvary, he bore our sickness, bore our diseases, and bore our pain. So I want to encourage you, if you're listening to this program, don't ask God to heal you. Because without you even knowing it, you're acting as if he didn't already do it. That's a form of doubt. So take what he's already done. He's already healed you, because it says, by his stripes you were, past tense, you were healed. So God has shown me, take this revelation and apply it to the application of someone being sick. Last night, there was a lady that her back was messed up, her hips were messed up, her one leg was 2.5 inches shorter than the other. Tony had such a problem, he said, hey, Brian, pray for this girl over here. I sat her down, and her leg, I looked at her leg, the length of it, and I commanded it to grow out in the name of Jesus. I didn't ask God to heal it. I just said, Lord, I take what you've done, and I put it on her body. I apply it. The leg shot out and grew out. She got up, started jumping, and she took off running around the building and went out the door and went running through the parking lot, shouting and screaming. Came back in, leaned on my shoulder. I turned out she wasn't. It was her coming back in. She says, I haven't been able to run for 20 years. You see, a slave begs, a servant asks, but a son expects. I didn't ask God to do it, and I didn't beg him to do it. I know who I am. I'm one of the sons of God. And I applied what my Father has already done through my brother Jesus. And she was miraculously healed, running, shouting. And I told her, go tell everybody. Don't mention my name, but just go tell everybody what Jesus has done for you.
Amen. Amen.
Good
God.
Holy Ghost all over that one, man.
That's
but,
awesome. I've felt the whole time the show's been going on.
Yeah. But, yeah, Brian, thanks for coming on the show, and maybe some other time you can come and teach about other things if you wish.
Oh, it'd be good. I'd enjoy it.
And, you know, I hope you I bless your trip overseas, and I hope, you know, you reach thousands and millions, and I'm sure you will. You know, thanks again for coming on the show, and I'd like to tell everybody we're going to have another Wednesday night service here on the Healing Light Show. Check in at 8 p.m., and it will be live. We're going to take live calls for healings. We're going to be preaching the Word. We're going to be, introducing Christ to a lot of people. And, you know, it's going to be a full service, and we'll welcome every one of y'all to come and join us at 8 p.m. on Wednesday night. And thanks again, Brian, and we'll talk to you all Wednesday night.
All right, well, blessings to all of you. Receive what God's already done for you. Cry out for his repentance, his love, and his anointing. Walk in divine health. And this is Dr. Brian Adams. I'm expecting everyday miracles every day for you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian Adams, so much.
God bless you.
Well, late one night she started to cry and thought he ain't coming home. She was tired of the lies, tired of the fight, but she didn't want to see him go. She fell on her knees and said, I haven't prayed since I was